Now, folks, last weekend was our spring meeting, and Brother D. Hagen was with us, and he brought wonderful messages to us. The main thing from his message was that we are to act. We are to go in to do. It was a good message, and we all need to take it to heart. Now, what I want to bring to you today is, I guess you can say it falls in line a little bit with what Brother D. had to say. But the prior Sunday, some of you were gone and you weren't here. But the message was a part one, that Christ came to do the will of the Father. His whole reason to come to this earth was to do the will of the Father. And I'm not going to re-preach that message, but we are going to carry on from it. Because in Christ's ministry, he repeatedly said over and over and over that I speak the words of my Father, that I have come to do the will of my Father. And one of the passages that we read from that were these were found in the Gospel of John. We're going to spend most of our time in the Gospel of John today. And you don't have to turn here, but this is what Jesus said. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at that last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Folks, that was the will of the Father, and that is why Jesus Christ came. Because I can tell you, without Christ and without him coming to earth, we would not have everlasting life. But God so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son, didn't he? And folks, when Jesus came, he knew from the beginning, from the very beginning, what that mission would entail. He knew that he would have to face the cross. And he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Folks, how often we gloss over these words and we take them for granted, and it's almost like we don't pay attention to it so much anymore. But folks, either people will perish or they will not. And the only people who will not perish are those who are in Christ because of Jesus. Because Jesus loved. He loved the Father and he loved God's people. And he came to this earth. He came to this earth because we could not save ourselves. And he came to be obedient, to serve, to do the will of the Father. Now, folks, that's all of the catch-up I'll do from our message from 2 weeks ago. Now I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John in your Bibles, the Gospel of John. And we're going to start in chapter 12 and stay here for most of the time this morning. And, folks, this is right before... Well, Jesus has just entered into Jerusalem. This is a week of the dedication and the feast. And I will say, this is not Palm Sunday today. That's next Sunday. I've skipped ahead just a little bit. We'll probably go back to Palm Sunday for the triumphal entry into Jerusalem next week. But I've gone ahead of that for just a little bit, and there's some reasons for that. So I want you to follow with me and understand what's been going on. Jesus, you might say, is at the height of his notoriety and his fame. He has just raised Lazarus from the dead. And there's been a lot of turmoil going on. A lot of things. And this is just prior to the week before his crucifixion. So beginning in chapter 12, and I want to read with you starting in chapter 17, verses 17 through 26, and then we'll back up for just a moment. Chapter 12, starting in verse 17. "Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness." So right here, folks, I just want you to see the picture and understand the scene. People were talking about the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead because Lazarus was a well-known person, and it was irrefutable. It cannot be disputed that he had been raised from the dead after being 4 days in that tomb. and the word had been spreading. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And we'll come back to that, but make note of it. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Now, folks, there's a lot that's just been said here, a whole lot. So I want to focus on some things. Again, the turmoil. All of the Jesus has just gone into Jerusalem, and his fame has spread abroad. And the Pharisees were very, very indignant. They were very upset. If you go back up and read, if you're in your Bibles, or it should be now on the PowerPoint, verses 9 through 11. "Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there." In other words, that he was right there at Bethany the day before he was riding into Jerusalem. And then, of course, as he rode into Jerusalem. "And they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus to death, to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus." Now, folks, you get an idea of looking into the heart of the Pharisees. They not only wanted to kill Jesus, they wanted to kill Lazarus too. Can you see the evil in these religious rulers? And folks, we can't turn a blind eye and not recognize that in certain facets and aspects of our society and around the world, there are evil in other religions and in other rulers too, as well as here in the United States and in some churches that call themselves Christian. Satan is all around us. And Satan was there too, stirring up evil. And these Pharisees not only wanted to kill Jesus, who they had already contended with quite often, they even wanted to kill Lazarus, one of their very own. They looked at Jesus almost like an outsider. But Lazarus was one of their own, and they wanted to kill him. And then go back to verse 19. We just read through this. I read through this kind of fast. But in verse 19, the Pharisees said there among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Their plot to kill Lazarus and kill Jesus, nothing was working. They wanted to kill him, and it hadn't worked so far. And now everybody is following Jesus. Everybody is following Jesus. And I said I'd go back to verse 20. I said we'd come back to this in just a moment. Verse 20. "Now there were certain Greeks among them who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida, and asked him, saying, 'We wish to see Jesus.'" You see, folks, there were, the word, I believe, the way the Greek, the context is being used here. Yes, they were people that they were Hellenistic. They spoke Greek. But it's referring to Gentiles in general. They wanted to see Jesus. They heard about the miracles too. All the healing that he had done over these past 3 years. People wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to see him. And the Jews were very upset. And they said, "See, the whole world is going after Jesus." Folks, that's important to recognize that, and as we'll see in just a moment. Now it brings us to verse 23. And Jesus is answering these, not only all in attendance, but he's specifically answering back these Greeks, these Gentiles that have come to see him. And they were questioning him. They wanted to see Jesus. Folks, anybody that has the desire to want to see Jesus, no matter where they are, let's pray that God's word is available and abundant so they can hear about Jesus. Can you ever think of a time in our life that since you've been alive that the world needs Jesus more than they need him today? We all need Jesus. We need to be praying that his word will be available to all of those who are seeking after him. Now, verse 23. Now, folks, this is profound because this is Jesus knows what's about to take place. You see, he had come to do the Father's will. And he knew what was at the end of him just a few short days away. And there stood the cross and all that that would entail. Jesus knew that. Jesus came as the suffering servant throughout all his ministry to serve, to tell others, to heal, and to praise God and to show God to the people. Yet he was rejected. The Pharisees rejected him. Most of the Jews rejected him, but not all. And that's why I said that it was important, that statement. The Jews themselves, the Pharisees, said, look, the whole world goes after him. Thank God that Jesus just didn't come for the Jewish people. He came for all of God's children, including me and you, including all of the Gentiles. He came. And he gives this explanation. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And he's talking about his crucifixion and the resurrection that would be soon thereafter. The people didn't know that, but he's telling them. The time has come. His mission to serve the Father, to do the Father's will, it was about to be completed. All things were about to be accomplished. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Folks, I'm going to stop right there and just explain for a moment. Think about you as an individual or about a person. A grain of wheat. Most assuredly, I say, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. You see, folks, Jesus is making the analogy here, and the people then, I don't think they understood it. But it applies to us. We are here to bear fruit. If we remain alone, folks, and all we're doing is focusing on ourselves and this life, we're not bearing fruit at all. Jesus said, then was also at the same time referring to himself. Unless he dies and goes into the ground, how will it produce fruit? It would not. If a kernel of wheat is never buried in the ground, new wheat's not going to grow up. If we keep only to ourselves, how do we help other people? How do we spread God's word? If all we do is focus on ourselves, we never look to God, do we? We're focused on the things of the world. But if that wheat falls in the ground and dies, in other words, if we give our life to God, to Jesus, when we die to this world and we live for Christ, we're a new creation, aren't we? All things have become new. We are born again, and we have eternal life. If it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loses his life, he who loves his life, in other words, if he who loves this world more than God, more than the kingdom, will lose it. All you have is what you have right here, and folks, life is very short. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. You see the difference? That's the wheat that falls into the ground and bears much fruit. When we love God and we make the sacrifices and we endure the trials that we have in this life because we put God first, we have eternal life. We have died to the world, but we are living in God's kingdom. And we will never perish. We will have eternal life. Then in verse 26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Even at this very last moment, right before all that Jesus was about to have to endure, he's still preaching repentance. Don't love this world. Turn to God. And he's preaching and telling, you will never perish. There is eternal life in Christ. Right before the crucifixion is about to, or the trials coming up to it the days before, he's still reaching out to the Gentiles and preaching repentance, preaching life, turn to God for everlasting life. Now let's continue. Because Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. You see it again. It's very clear here. He came to do the will of the Father. This is the reason why Jesus came. For this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel had spoken unto him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Folks, I want to stop right there. I want to stop right there. This is proclaiming. The voice is proclaiming. It was for the people to hear. It was for the apostles to give encouragement, to give clarification, to give understanding. But I want you to recognize what's about to happen. What do you hear? What stands out to you in this? For your sake, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the judgment, folks. And the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up, in other words, if I am crucified, I will draw all peoples to myself. This is more than once now. The Jews said the world follows after him. The Greeks, the Gentiles were there. And Jesus said, I draw all people to myself. People from every kindred and tongue. Think about us today. This gospel was being preached by Jesus here. It's preached in every kingdom around the world now, in every nation. I can't think of anywhere where it hasn't been spoken. You know, we started off a few months ago about the days of Noah. And one of the signs that Jesus said at the end times was that this gospel will be preached in every nation. I think it's been preached in every nation. It's still being preached. There are those that ridicule it. There are those that deny it. They are those that persecute it. Just like it was going on here. But Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all people to me. All of God's children, no matter where they are on this earth. And no matter at what time at that earth. Jesus knew he had to be lifted up. He knew he had to face that awful, horrible cross that was coming. But he did it anyway. Because he was obedient to the Father and he loved the Father. And because he loved us, his children. You know, folks, it's an emotional time, Easter is. When we think about what Jesus bore for us, bearing our sins, it's easy to be overcome by it. I think because it's when you really dig deep into it, it's so strong and overpowering, we kind of go around it. Because it assaults us in our hearts when we recognize what sinners we are, what we deserved. We deserve to be hung on that cross, not Jesus Christ. And folks, we'll get into that coming up. But I just want you to recognize, Jesus came, in spite of the heavy burden, to do the will of the Father. And folks, there was nobody else that could do that. But he's telling us very clearly right here, the victory has come. Victory has come. The ruler of this world will be cast out. Now let's continue reading. I stopped right there at the bottom of 34. Who is this Son of Man? Let's keep going. I'll read verse 35 again. A little while longer, light is with you. In other words, he's saying that I am with you for a little while longer. Just a few more days. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. Don't turn away from me. Walk with me. Folks, when you reach these trials in your lives and things are hard to understand, do not turn away from God's Word. Don't allow this world to redefine what God's Word says. It's very clear in the Bible. The world is always trying to disavow or to redefine God's Word because the world's standard cannot live up to it. So it is wrong, it is wicked, it is evil, the world standard. So it tries to diminish and tear down God's Word. But we have the light that's shared with us right here in the gospel. Don't turn away from it. Walk in the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he was going. And folks, that's very apparent in the world today. Those who don't believe in God, why should we listen to them? They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. You want to talk about the difference between right and wrong? You have the world standard that tells you, oh, this is okay, that's okay, this is right and wrong. And we have God's Word. There's quite a contrast. Don't turn away from God's Word. Keep the light. Walk in the light while we have it. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become the sons of light. Folks, when the way is hard and difficult and we don't understand, trust in God's Word. Remember, God looks on the heart. There's times when all of our faith is challenged and we're weak and we stumble. Just hold on to God's Word. And when we don't understand why, just believe in that and trust. We're all in the Good Shepherd's care. Not a grain of wheat will fall without God's knowledge. Now we come to the conclusion of this, and actually part of the way that I titled this message. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. And then we come to verse 37. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of them. Now, I want to make some comments. Turn with me, if you want to, in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. But folks, this is important to understand. Who has believed our report? God blinded them, it says. God gave Isaiah some 700 years prior to this taking place a prophetic vision. And Isaiah prophesied about Jesus Christ. And in most Bibles, in this chapter, it's called the suffering servant. And all the descriptions of what he was about to endure. But the Jewish leaders in particular. You see, Jesus just didn't come to the Jewish people, but it said it came to him. He came to them first, but he came for all of his people. Just as we saw with the Greeks and the Gentiles being here. But they did not believe the report. Folks, can you just stop for a moment and say, thank you, God, for opening my eyes? Because you have not been blinded. You see. Thank God for His amazing grace. And just to remind you, it's by God's grace that we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. The fact that you can believe, God's word, is a gift that He's given you. And it identifies you as a child of God. Thank God for that. Now I just want to read, and if you're in with me now, in Isaiah chapter 53, the first three verses, and then we're going to stop. And we're going to break it down a little bit. This was 700 and some odd years before Jesus came. And that's this prophecy. Notice how the Bible always fulfills prophecy. What was spoken about in Isaiah, it's come to pass. God's word always is fulfilled. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. This is Isaiah, talking about the generation of when Jesus would come. God's own chosen people, the Jews. And this is the way they treated the Son of God, who had come to do the will of the Father. Who has believed our report? We just read in the Gospel of John, they didn't believe it. So I want to break down verse 1 quickly. And folks, I know that sometimes we have other things that we're compelled to do after church. So I don't want to run over too much. But let's answer this question. Who has believed our report? You see, this is a condemnation to all believers. I said just a moment ago, this gospel has been preached in every nation. Who has believed it? It's both a question and a condemnation. You see, they didn't believe the report that Jesus said about himself. They didn't believe the report about John the Baptist either. In John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The Jews didn't receive him. And that's kind of explained in verse 2, if you go back up. For he has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, he didn't meet the definition of what the Jews wanted. He didn't come from a royal family. He wasn't born in Jerusalem. He wasn't, in their eyes, acceptable. He was a common, everyday man. They had their preconceptions. They wanted a ruler to lord it over the Romans and all their enemies. But they rejected Jesus. The Pharisees wanted Jesus to suit them. They never had it in their hearts that they were the ones that needed repentance. So they rejected him. John the Baptist, down in chapter 1, verse 34, John bore witness saying, and I have seen and testified, this is the Son of God, this Jesus, who had just raised Lazarus, whom he had performed all these miracles. This is the Son of God. Yet they didn't believe the report. But in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 20, and many of them said, the Jews talking about Jesus, rejecting him, they said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? They said that when Jesus was in the temple, right after he healed the blind man who had been blinded from birth. Because they didn't fit the definition, and they rejected him. So then the second part of that very first verse. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah 52, verse 10 answers this. The Lord has made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. You see, folks, it keeps going back. The Jews said it unknowingly. The whole world followed after Him. The Greeks and the Gentiles were there. In the days of Noah, this gospel will be preached throughout all nations. It's here now today, folks. All nations have heard. All nations have seen and know about Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Because He came to do the will of the Father. All nations, all ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And folks, that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sakes. Because for your sakes. Judgment is now is the judgment of the world. Now the rulers of this world will be cast out. Judgment had come. John chapter 1, verse 12 through 13 says, but as many received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, folks, to all believers, you have believed the report. And the mighty arm, which stands for the salvation of God, has been revealed to you. And it's not just us. It's God's children everywhere. I don't care if it's India. I don't care if it's in China. If it's in Canada, in Brazil, in Africa, in North Korea, wherever God's children are. God's salvation has come to His people. When Jesus was crucified and resurrected from the dead, He saved all His people. All of those that believe, we will never perish. To have everlasting life. John chapter 12, verse 19, as we close. Let me just say, I hope you thank God that His mighty arm of salvation has been revealed to you. John chapter 12, 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after Him. Meaning they did not accomplish their designs to kill Jesus at that point and to kill Lazarus. And because they didn't, the Jews were beginning to follow Jesus. And they were upset. Just like the world is upset when we follow Jesus now. And it does everything in its power to disrupt us. And it has all types of plans to hinder us. That's what Satan does. He doesn't want you to follow Jesus. He wants you to turn away. But folks, Satan has accomplished nothing. When you think about it, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we continue to follow Christ. And I pray that you will continue to follow Christ. Because that's what God's Word tells us to do. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and folks, He did it. We'll go into that more in the next 2 weeks. But He did it. And Jesus told us this as we close. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. And this was at the Transfiguration. And one of the... And while He was still speaking, that was Peter who was saying, should we build a shelter? A bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Folks, hear Him. Hear Him. He came to this earth to save His people from their sins because we could not save ourselves. And all who believe will have everlasting life. So folks, we have decisions to make in our lives as we go to serve God. We have a daily walk each day God gives us. Will we keep believing in His Word? Will we draw close? Will we walk in the light? We have that choice. I made the statement that when you got up, you made the decision to come to the house of prayer today. Every day that God gives you. Choose to follow and keep His commandments. Keep His Word close in your heart. And folks, when we do, other people will see. And we will be bearing fruit. May God add his blessings is my prayer.